Hi, everybody. Today's passage is Judges chapter 2. We're reading from verses 1 through 5. Yesterday's passage was quite long, but today's is a little bit shorter to maybe balance that out. So this is Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. What is this you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. As soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. All right, so as I talked about yesterday, when God brought Israel to the Promised Land, part of their mission was to completely drive out the Canaanites. Yet, as we read in yesterday's passage, they chose not to do that, and by doing so, essentially chose not to obey God. The book of Judges is, in some ways, a narrative that shows the consequences of this disobedience to God. In our short passage today, we get what could be considered an introduction to these consequences that we'll read about throughout this book. An angel of the Lord appears before the people and reminds them of God's work, how he rescued them from slavery in Egypt, and how he led them to the land that he swore to give to their ancestors. God reminds them of the covenant he made with them, a covenant that will never break. And then he gets to the sad part, but you have not obeyed my voice. And what is the consequence of this? Verse 3 says, I, God, will not drive them out, referring to the inhabitants of the land, or the Canaanites. I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. In other words, the surrounding nations will be a constant dangerous presence to Israel. And because of that, the Israelites will not experience the true and lasting peace that they would have experienced in the Promised Land had they chosen to fully obey God. I won't go into further detail than that because that would likely spoil a lot of what we'll read in the coming weeks. But what I want to focus on today is how the people of Israel respond to this word from the Lord. In verse 4, it says that as soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words, the people of Israel lifted up their voices and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, which literally just means weepers, as in like weeping out of mourning. And then it says that they sacrificed there to the Lord. When I read this, a part of me really feels for the Israelites. I mean, they had finally reached the Promised Land. They'd experienced some great progress as a people, but now they were being told that they would be punished. I mean, that's got to be rough. At the same time, I can't help but notice that the passage fails to mention anything related to the idea of repentance. Yes, they wept. They even called the place they stood weepers, you know, Bochim. But there is no mention of repentance, of turning away from their old ways and returning to the Lord. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it's actually very possible to feel sorrowful for something that has happened without actually repenting of your ways. You can feel sad about a situation and try to appease the person that you may have wronged without actually being sorry for what you did. I'd like to think that I was a pretty well-behaved kid growing up, but I know for sure that there were times when I would get in trouble, and when that would happen, my mom or my dad would scold me or even punish me. And, you know, during those times, I would be upset. I might cry or pout or feel sad all around. But there would be times when I wouldn't actually be sorry for what I had done. Again, I would feel sad. I would feel upset. I would maybe feel just distraught because of this wrongdoing or maybe because of the punishment that I was receiving. I might plead with my mom or my dad to remove the punishment, whatever that was. But even still, I wouldn't actually feel sorry for my actions. I believe this is what we see here in this passage with the Israelites. The Israelites wept, knowing that they were being punished. Yet they didn't repent. You see, true repentance is confessing your wrongdoing, so admitting that you've done something wrong, that something is broken, and then leaving it behind and turning away from it, and having a change in behavior, a 180 turn away from that thing. But there is no indication of that kind of thing happening here. And in case you want to give the Israelites the benefit of the doubt, well, what we'll read throughout Judges shows that there really was no intention of repenting. In a lot of ways, the Lord was gracious in showing the Israelites the ways in which they had sinned. Yet the people chose not to turn from their ways and return to Him. They simply wept, wailed, knowing that they were now being punished for what they had done. Repentance is something that might not feel all that comfortable to talk about because it, well, feels heavy and sad. When we talk about following Jesus, we usually like to talk about how Jesus can change us, free us, and bring us joy, fulfillment, and life. And all of those things are true. But in order to actually do that, in order for us to receive this life that Jesus has freely offered to us, repentance has to be part of that process. And it's not just a one-time thing, but it's actually meant to be a continual part of the Christian life. We have to leave behind and turn from our old sinful ways and instead choose to follow God and His ways. And then with that, as we go about our lives, we then continually, whenever we fall away from Him and we fall short of His standards for us, when we choose to sin, well, then we repent and return back to Him. I think in a lot of ways, it's as Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's an element of it being a one-time act, yes, and a daily process of denying ourselves, turning away from sinful desires, and instead following the ways of Jesus. We don't always think of it this way, but repentance is a part of that process of denying ourselves and daily taking up our cross. And the thing is, when we make repentance a regular part of our lives, it's not just about feeling heavy or downtrodden, but it's actually about, out of that repentance, experiencing the joy and peace that God promises. Rather than living in a situation where you're bombarded and surrounded by enemies, like the Israelites are in this passage, when we live a life of repentance, of turning away from our sin and walking with the Lord, we'll experience freedom. And so with that, today, is there anything that you are convicted to repent of? Are there specific things you've said or done that have been acts of sin against God and others? How is the condition of your heart? I encourage all of us today to spend some time listening to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead you into a moment of repentance. And again, this repentance doesn't have to be these big things, it can be a condition, a state of our heart where we've turned away from the ways of God and chosen to go our ways. Let's turn to Him. Return to Him, that we might ultimately experience the joy of the Lord. With that, let me pray for us. Lord God, we want to thank You for Your grace. Lord, You've given us an opportunity. You've shown us the way to You. You call us to repent, to turn from our ways, and instead make this 180 turn and return to You. Lord, help us to make this a regular part of our lives. God, we don't want to be like the Israelites here who weep and wail over the punishment of sin and just leave it at that. But Lord, we want to turn to You, God, and live a life of peace, of joy, of fulfillment as we do so. And so, Lord, today, Holy Spirit, won't You convict our hearts? May our hearts not grow hardened or stubborn, but as You reveal to us the areas, the things in our lives in which we have turned from You, help us to make that decision to return to You, to repent, and to walk with You, God. Lord, we thank You for the grace that You show us, for the way that You've made for us to do this. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.